The scripture reading today comes from Matthew chapter 26, beginning with verse 25. Matthew chapter 6, beginning with verse 25. For this reason I say to you, do not be anxious for your life as to what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor for your body as to what you shall put on. Is not life more than food and the body than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, neither do they reap, or gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single cubit to his life's span? And why are you anxious about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory did not clothe himself like one of these. But if God so arrays the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more do so for you, O men of little faith? Do not be anxious then, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or with what shall we clothe ourselves? For all these things the Gentiles eagerly seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not be anxious for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. We don't seem to talk much about the kingdom of God. When we do, it seems like somewhat of an afterthought. I mean, today, on the final Sunday of the liturgical calendar, as if to check this box before quickly moving on, today, when people are still in the post-Thanksgiving turkey fog of the residual effect of tryptophan and the cumulative effect of not knowing when to say when it comes to pumpkin pie. Today, when we end up with the spare Sunday before Advent begins, we find ourselves observing what the liturgical calendar calls Christ the King Sunday or the Reign of Christ Sunday. Though we don't always talk much about the kingdom, that is pretty much all Jesus talked about. The earthly ministry of Jesus began with him entering Galilee, preaching the good news of the kingdom of God. He goes through every city and village, preaching and demonstrating the message of the kingdom of God. Jesus says, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, and you are not far from the kingdom of God." Again, Jesus says, the kingdom of God does not come with your careful observation, nor will people say, here it is or there it is, because the kingdom of God is within you. In today's scripture reading from the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus tells the multitudes and us along with them, seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Jesus seems to talk about God's kingdom more than talks about anything else. So let's talk about the kingdom. Before we talk about the angels and the shepherds, before we talk about the baby in the manger and the star and the magi, let's talk about Christ the King. Let's talk about the kingdom. Where is it? What is it? And exactly how do we seek it? Let's start with some common misconceptions. The kingdom Jesus was talking about isn't a territory with marked out boundaries. It's not some geographical place, nor a particular people. It's broader than any particular ideology or doctrinal statement. But neither is it some sentimental vagueness. When our Lord taught us to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven," he was teaching us that the kingdom of God has something to do with God's will being done. In today's scripture reading, we see the same connection is made between the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. When we pray for God's kingdom to come, when we seek God's kingdom, we are praying for and also seeking God's will and God's righteousness. The kingdom of God is present in those over whose lives God rules or reigns. And just who that is evidenced by those lives being directed by what is good, true, and just. It is those who correct what is misguided, unjust, and wrong. The kingdom of God is a community which gives itself not only to God's care, but whose lives are lived in radical love, joy, peace, truth, and righteousness. Referring to the kingdom of God as God's government, Frank Thomas has this to say: God's government invades the human heart such that God's authority is established in a person's mind and will. When God occupies a human heart, then the kingdom of God has come to earth. When God sets up government in a human heart, then peace shall reign. Let's see. So far, we have zeroed in on what the kingdom of God is. Rather than a place or a territory, it is the rule or reign, the government of God over our lives. A rule or reign that is established, as Frank Thomas says, in a person's mind and will, in a person's heart. Perhaps that is exactly what Jesus was talking about when he said, "The kingdom of God is within you." If that is true, if the kingdom of God is within you, why then does Jesus also tell us to seek the kingdom of God? It shouldn't be that hard to find if it is within us, right? You would think. But that is the last place most of us want to go poking around, in the interior of ourselves. We have erected barriers to keep others out that are so high and so impenetrable that we have ended up walled off from our own truest selves. Wouldn't it be easier to go on some kind of adventure seeking the kingdom of God hidden in some mysterious parts that waits to be found like some kind of prize Easter egg? What if we were to summon the strength and courage to delve into our deepest selves? Would we find the rule of God there? Would we find a mind and will governed by the love and peace of God there? Yeah, probably easier to take up a search elsewhere, anywhere but within ourselves. Look for the radical love, joy, peace, truth, and righteousness that somebody else, that God, has already established, and step into that. Satisfied to have discovered the long-awaited kingdom of God. Seek, pray for others who will correct what is misguided, unjust, and wrong. But for some reason, the hint that Jesus gives us as to where to look for this kind of stuff, like it or not, the kingdom of God is within you. With that in mind, let us take up the Master's words spoken in this morning's scripture reading. Seek first God's kingdom and God's righteousness. It might be helpful to consider that another translation for the word seek is desire or strive after. That would suggest that we're not simply to dig around trying to find what lies hidden, but that the kingdom of God, the rule of God, which establishes radical love, joy, peace, truth, and righteousness, the reign which corrects what is misguided, unjust, and wrong, is to be desired and strived after in the depths of who we are, within our hearts and minds. Priority is also a piece of this. By saying to seek, desire, or strive for the kingdom first, it is set forth not only as a priority, but as the top priority. In context, Jesus says to seek first God's kingdom And all these things shall be added to you. What things? The wider context of this verse is the Sermon on the Mount. More specifically, Jesus is focused here upon anxieties regarding the necessities of life. Do not be anxious then, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or with what shall we clothe ourselves? For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first God's kingdom and God's righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. We have all been hungry to one degree or another. Might be hard to remember after this past Thursday. We all know what it is to be thirsty and to seek or desire clothing and shelter. Jesus says, God knows we need the necessities of life. So we are not to be anxious about these things. Our primary desire is to be focused upon the rule of God, a world, actually a life, in which God's love and righteousness reigns. This idea of the kingdom of God being made top priority of life is supported by other things Jesus had to say about the kingdom of God. Twice in Matthew chapter 13, we see the same emphasis placed on the kingdom of God. Jesus said the kingdom of God is like a treasure hidden in a field, that when someone discovers it, they will go and sell everything they have in order to buy the field in which the treasure is buried. He goes on to say the kingdom of God is like a fine pearl. Upon finding it, a merchant will go and sell what he has to buy the pearl. Christ the King Sunday is about more than placing a crown of honor upon the head of Christ with our songs and with the words of our liturgies. It is about more than imagining the kingdom of heaven with pearly gates and golden streets. Christ the King Sunday is about a call to commitment. It is a call to evaluate our loyalty as subjects of Christ the King, who is to reign and rule over our lives. It is about ordering every aspect of our lives around the desire for God's love, joy, peace, truth, and righteousness. The desire for the reign of God, which corrects what is misguided, unjust, and wrong. The kingdom of God is rooted in paradoxical name and nature of God. It is here, but it is also on the way. God's reign is plain, but it is also mysterious. God's realm is open to everybody, but it is also hidden. Though it somehow is never fully realized, it is so profound and so real that we cannot escape its claim upon our lives. The kingdom of God is that light seed planted in the souls of God's people. Today, on Christ the King Sunday, let us not only pray, Thy kingdom come, let us also discover this hidden fire within us and enter that kingdom of God more fully. Amen.